Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is our national edition of our program. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, head coach, and overall disturber on Friday.
He is a disturber. You watch a hockey game last night, see the Florida Panthers?
Yeah. Now, were the Hurricane fans throwing jerseys on and screaming, get rid of these guys. They're losers.
No, they're in the conference final.
They can't win there, but they've gotten there.
What is going on? Like, this was supposed to be much closer.
Yeah.
They look unstoppable. The Panthers.
14-game losing streak for the Carolina Hurricanes in the conference final.
That's nuts.
14?
The first thing that caught my eye was watching Aho throw a questionable hit on Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Don't know the health of him. But it is funny that,
What did you think?
Well,
did he mask it enough?
It's not a great play. I don't like it.
Do we know anything?
I don't think it's a suspension.
Did the league call?
Here you go.
I think
it's pretty reckless is all for me, yeah. Right? Like, he's just kind of throwing himself blindly at a guy.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, how does your own medicine taste, Panthers?
Well, let's see. This is kind of what I was going to say is, like, the Panthers have just been steamrolling through opposition, often by whatever means necessary. And it may have to be that a team says, not that. I'm not condoning that. Mm-hmm. But someone's going to have to meet them where they're at and say, okay, we'll see who has the most guys left at the end of this thing, because I don't think they're going to coursey them to death here.
Leafs tried.
Yeah, did they?
They did at times. I thought they tried.
Aho's got to keep his head up next game.
Oh, my.
I don't envy his spot. Yeah.
They're coming for him.
Especially.
That is their reputation.
Down in Florida, that building rocking, that's a scary spot for them.
They're also good, like, in that they won't come out at the 1959.
No, they'll pick their spot.
Yeah.
They'll pick their spot.
He's got to play the whole game doing the double shoulder check.
Yes. Yeah.
Before
that's what makes
Jonah Gadjevich runs him through a crossbar or something.
That's what makes them the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
That they've got like four or five of those guys. You don't know who it's going to be.
You want to know my theory on what's going to happen with this Panthers team? Who did we have on the other day that said they're a copycat team? Maybe it was Pronger on the panel was saying that, like, it's copycat league. Oh, it's Tocchet. Tocchet was saying it's a copycat league, and everyone's, you know, I expect to see more dumping and chasing. It'd be an interesting time to zag, because I don't think the league is going to go back to the 1990s and just dump, pump, hit.
I'd love that.
But you don't have players like that anymore. They're too hard to find.
Well, that's it. And you have Florida.
You would like it, but go find one.
So you're going to get the Leafs is what you're going to get. Teams that are not naturally built to do it, trying to do it. And I don't know that that's the answer either. Like, I don't think the solution is to say everyone play like Florida unless you have meanies. You need a couple guys who have some malice in their heart.
Tournament, like, stop feeding them. Feed them nails. Do something. But, like,
you know, it's the only really way. Nice?
It's
like,
the only
really
way.
Eventually,
you're going to have to fight fire with fire. You are.
I don't know. I don't think you can outflame them. I think you're just going to play their game.
I think you're going to light yourself on fire trying to light them on fire.
Hey, do your job better. Find more guys.
Well, if that's it, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the next three Stanley Cup champions after this year are going to be dump and chase mean heavy teams. I don't think that's the case.
And that's Florida.
Yes. Florida's the dumpiest team.
No, I don't care what, the analytics say.
Yeah.
That team will beat you any which
way. That team will. But they're not going to do this forever. They're not just going to win cups.
Well, they're going to get tired. They'll get tired.
Right. And so, you know, you look at the way the Penguins won cups in 16 and 17, or you look at ways the Avalanche weren't this. Mm-hmm. You know, they were a high possession, high, you know, shot attempt team. I think the teams are going to get, like, tunnel visioned. We need to be the Panthers, and very few rosters are capable of carrying that many players who can both play and hit.
To be on the cusp of going to three straight Stanley Cup finals, which they are, you have to be a perfect mix.
You'll be able to play every game.
Perfect mix of players. And, yeah, like, does it suck that they were able to put $10 million on LTIR and add Seth Jones and Brad Marchand to the roster?
That's maybe undersold in all this right now.
No, I mean, and they don't have to pay state taxes and they get to play all their players less than $3 million less. Yeah, it's all a factor.
Don't ask us. Let's ask our Friday guest, Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, and coach. It was this time last week.
Chilling.
He said this.
You know what? I was saying they were finally had their bottom six was better. They were tougher. They play a better game. Their blue line was better. Their goaltending's the best that it's been forever. And then I watched the last two games and I said, how wrong could I be? They were horrible the last two games. And I don't know. If this ends tonight, it's going to get really ugly as to how to rebuild this team.
Doug McLean on the Toronto Maple Leafs getting really ugly after game seven. Did I play that the way you instructed me to exactly?
Well, I'm glad you're keeping track of things I say, you know, because I've said a lot of things this year that made a lot of sense that got lost in the confusion and the mess of the segment, you know. But I want to disagree with Bourne there for 1 minute. A lot of those players, when they went to the Panthers, were not those type of players. Bennett was a skilled guy in Calgary. That's why they got rid of him.
He fought a little bit,
but he wasn't anywhere
close
to the same player.
Neither was Reinhardt.
Lundell, Luskin, all these guys, when they became Panthers, all of a sudden, there's the Tkachuks and company. You know, there's a culture there that's unbelievable. And you know what? I'm really disappointed because the Leafs lost an amazing opportunity here. I had them as the second best team in the East this year, the Leafs. Not totally. I had on my chart, the way I do the evaluations, you know, a 7 for a franchise player, a 6 and a 5, all the way down to a 1. I had the Panthers at 93.5 as their total numbers. And that's with Bobrovsky as a 7. I had Toronto's goaltending as a 6. And I had the Leafs at 89.5. I had Florida better up front. And that's hard to believe. I had them 57.5 versus a 56 for the Leafs. 29 for the blue line versus 27.5 for Toronto's blue line. And a 7 for their goaltending and a 6 for Toronto. So it was a close series. But it wasn't close. If goalie Bob didn't stink it out the first two games, it might have been over a lot earlier. So goalie Bob was horrible, and they're up 2-0, and the Leafs played well. They played well, but goalie Bob helped them. And then they lost 4 out of 5, okay? But here's what happened to the Leafs, in my opinion. Trade deadline, every team in the East got dominated by the Florida Panthers at the trade deadline. Team construction happens in a number of ways. Draft number one, waivers, trades, and, you know, free agency. And on the trade deadline, all the teams in the East got schooled. They add Jones to their lineup, and they also add, you know, obviously the big guy Marchand up front. For the same price, essentially, that the Leafs added Lawton and Carlo. Same price, essentially. That's getting schooled at trade deadline, okay?
I know, but so, like, there's also various factors.
There's money factors. Okay, so that's where I want to go.
And Marchand wanted to go south. He didn't want to go to Toronto.
Well, there's other guys besides Marchand to trade for.
All right.
Okay, so, but listen, it comes back to the core four and the money that was allocated to them and how hard it's been to build a team. Look at Toronto's blue line or Florida's blue line. Look how that blue line is constructed from Forsling on down to their number 6 guy, a really solid, big, physical, playoff ready blue line. Toronto's blue line was better, not even close to Florida's. Why do you think Toronto's core four struggled in the series? A lot to do with the physicality of the Florida blue line and the way they play in their own end and the physicality of their forwards. So I just think I look at Toronto now. They've got a big management change there. I'll tell you one thing they better really do is they better figure out their pro scouting really fast.
Do tell.
Take a dozen of those analytics guys and maybe drop them down to four and move the other eight into scouting, because they've got to figure out their pro scouting really quick. Because teams are, you know, with the salary cap, it becomes even more important to make sure you're on top of that business. Florida, Rick Dudley, advisor, pro scout. Les Jackson, who helped build Dallas Stars, pro scout. Paul Fenton, who was a real instrumental in Nashville, pro scout, and a former GM. That's their below their GM staff. And all of a sudden now we've got Pelly and Tree Living and Berube. Who, I don't know anybody else in the pro scouting department. I don't know. I looked them up today. I don't know a name there. I don't know them.
Brendan Shanahan never hired those type of guys that you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so Brendan's gone now. So this is an opportunity. And look, Brad's a solid guy, and Brad's done a reasonably good job. But Brad's also the same guy that got rid of Bennett in Calgary, and he lost Goudreau for nothing, the same that's going to happen with, Marner. And he traded, anyway, look, I think that they've got to figure it out. And Pelly saying, well, I got Brad and I got Craig. Well, you need a refurbishing of that staff. And trust me, I really believe that. Cut back on the skill development group, the player development group, the chef, and put it into hockey ops.
You leave the chef alone. Yeah, the chef's the one guy you know is helping.
If I can get a good cookie out of all of this, all right?
No, I'm serious, boys. I know how much money they've spent on their hockey ops, and I'm thinking, what value? Come on. I mean, anyway, I'm serious. If it becomes critical as they move ahead, and I think it's, look, they're a good team. They're going to be a good team again, but playoffs are different.
Well, that's, Doug,
there, I'm done.
Well, it's a lot of points to address. The interesting thing for me is talking about the style they play versus the players they have. And they play Florida style. No one can argue that. They play the exact same. They want to dump it in. They flip it out into the neutral zone. They don't do anything fancy. They don't have the horses that Florida does to do their thing. So you're talking about culture. Can they bring that in? Can they import Ekblad, Bennett, whoever? How can they find a way to have guys that play the style that they want to play?
Well, I think that's when I come back to the whole pro scouting conversation. That's the mandate. Look, the playoffs have always been really hard, guys. Nick played in the playoffs with the Rangers. I don't care what era you were in. The playoffs are always hard. They're always hard hockey. It's unbelievably how demanding physically is. And if you're not tough and you're not able to stand in there, it's really hard to win, guys. And I know it's changed. I know the clutch and grab. I get all that. But I'll tell you what, it's still hard. I watched Dallas Edmonton the other night. That was two skilled teams with great blue lines, at least Dallas. And I'm watching how hard they played in that game. I'm thinking, and I'm sitting there watching that, and Toronto let Kadri go. Oh, because he cross-checked somebody in the face. You can't have that in the playoffs. And Hyman was let go because of salary cap problems, because of guy, with the crunch they were in. If those two guys were, and I know it's easy for me, I'm out of the business. It's easy for me to second guess. But those were monumental losses, those two guys, for the type of play you need to play in the playoffs.
You're watching and listening to Doug McLean, former National Hockey League executive. So, Mac, staying with the Edmonton Oilers, Dallas Stars, game two tonight, 8 p.m., Sportsnet, CBC, which will feature on the panel from the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Justin Bourne, now.
And what channel can I get that on?
Cable 10, I think. I don't know what you get over there.
Are you back in Canada? Where are you?
Are you taking Sam?
Your voodoo dolls worked on Elliot's voice, apparently.
Yeah, he's in for Elliot.
Oh, wow. That's big.
Yeah.
I'm in PEI. I'm at the cottage here just trying to relax. And I just think the Leafs lost an unbelievable opportunity.
All right. All right. Off the Leafs now.
Sammy,
off the Leafs now.
You know?
Okay.
Anyway.
Edmonton Oilers, Mac. How important is game two here? Could they be in a scenario after tonight where they need to win potentially 4 out of 5 games?
Like the Panthers did.
Yes, like the Panthers did.
Not that hard, you know. they've got to win tonight. And you know what? But I watched them play the other night. I was blown away with McDavid and Dreisaitl's game. The first two periods and the way those two guys competed. I thought it was unbelievable to watch, you know, especially McDavid early on and Dreisaitl. I'm still nervous about their goaltending. Look, Skinner has come back and battled, and I give him full marks for it, full credit. But I'm nervous about Skinner. I thought Ottinger stood in really tough there when the game was on the line, when it was within a goal type thing, and I thought he battled really hard. With lots of traffic in front of him, I thought he stood tall. I love their blue line in Dallas. They're so mobile. They're big, strong, fast. I think it's going to be a tough. I picked Dallas to win the series, but I just marvel at McDavid and I guess he's going to the Leafs next year. Did Pelly announce that in the press conference?
He didn't announce it. Sammy did.
Oh, did you stop it and let the Oilers fans just focus
so anyway,
on the game?
I hope the Oilers can win tonight. They had the game. The penalty killing really let them down. I love Dreisaitl saying, we got to get a kill, you know, and here's McDavid killing penalties.
Said, I actually like that, too. He's like, he's not apologetic about it. He's like, we do. Like, I'm just telling the truth here.
Anybody that stands up to cheerleader spec, I'm really proud of. And Dreisaitl stands up to them out there. And I just love what he brings to the table. I remember coaching him in the prospects game in Calgary as a kid and how he was on the bench and that was his draft year, but what a star he's become. And,
yeah.
I think Bennett, by the way, was in the same draft, if I'm not mistaken.
So the greatest jump in playoff points from like playoffs to regular season, number one, I believe this is NHL history over 50 games, is Evan Bouchard. Number two is Leon Dreisaitl. Who scores significantly more points in playoffs.
Yeah.
To me, he didn't skate well enough when he was young in the league to do this. But you watch him last night, he got separation on a couple of those plays or the night before, and like he's unique now.
Oh, he's powerful.
Yeah.
He's powerful. And, you know, some guys aren't the prettiest skaters, but they can still be a powerful skater, and that's what he is. And he's a man on a mission. I got to tell you, he's a winner. And so is McDavid. So, look, I would never underestimate the Oilers. I picked L.A. to beat them, and I was so wrong on that. It was scary. Don't have that. Sammy, get rid of that clip if you can. I'd like that clip destroyed, Sammy. Bouchard has bounced back. You know, he scored a great goal the other night. He bounced back. He's still suspect. And they're doing it without Ekholm. I wish they would get Ekholm back. And solidify the back end a little better. That's all. But it's going to be a great series.
It is.
But I think Dallas are a heck of a team. Them and Florida would be an amazing final. But we'll see. I think Edmonton and Florida would be another amazing final as well.
For the Dallas Stars, some of their secondary kind of guys are stepping up now. It's just not the Rantanen show. That for me, Tyler Seguin's turned himself into a glue guy.
You know what? When I was watching the game, and I haven't watched Dallas a whole lot, and Seguin continually in that game jumped out at me. And I'm thinking, finally, the kid is healthy.
Yes.
He's a veteran. He's 100% healthy the way he's playing. And you're right. I was really, really caught off guard by how good he was in that game. And then you throw in the young group there, the Robertson and the Johnson. I mean, they're a, and you know, the big guy down the middle, the Finn. I mean, they're a really solid group. Jimmy Neal, to me, has done an amazing job. And Les Jackson, the guy I mentioned as a pro scout in Florida, had done a great job in Dallas. We'd have to mention Craig Button. He was there 20 years ago. Did any of his guys still playing, I wonder?
Love listening to Craig.
I do too. I love it.
So,
plus he likes my tweets, so I really like him.
Getting healthy now is high.
By the way, I watched his playoff board that he did his predictions on. We should get him to pull it up again. I think he had Winnipeg winning the cup. I'm not sure.
I think a lot of people had Winnipeg winning.
I didn't. But anyway, because I'm not a regular, I don't get to make predictions, so I'm lucky that way.
We'd love to have you do them. We've got to get you involved.
You want to go around?
Is this the last show? I saw something written today that this is the last show.
Buddy, you're right? Locked in. No. Your contract goes right to the end of the year.
In fact, listen.
First thing you know, you're going to have me on the Blue Jay telecast.
Sign and trade.
We're taking the summer off, July and August, but we have you going on J.D. Bunkus shows in July and August.
Oh, that'd be super. I appreciate that.
I just want to ask you about the Islanders. There was a lot of talk, including a report earlier this week that was confirmed by our Elliot Friedman about Brendan Shanahan having permission to talk to the Islanders. I'm not sure where that stands, but there is talk now of Matthew Darche as the general manager. Surprised at all, or is that official?
Get Sammy to look up who signed Matthew Darche to his first pro contract in the year 2000.
Oh, I just that did. It was Doug McLean. You. Wow.
From McGill University.
And you saw a great future executive in him? Is that why you signed him?
No. I'm better at scouting GMs than I am players. But you know what? Matthew played some games, and he was a real important guy with our farm system. And I remember meeting him at the Ritz a few years ago, and he was, before he went to Tampa, he was working for the PA, so... Congratulations to Matthew. He's a good guy. So
does that make it less likely that Brendan Shanahan would go after naming a GM?
What do you mean?
I'm saying, could he still end up being the president of the New York Islanders, Brendan Shanahan?
I would think that Brendan will end up getting a very good job.
This summer.
Bill, I mean, he might end up in Bill Daly. Is Bill ready to retire? He may get that job. I don't know.
I don't think he's
but
a lawyer.
I see Brendan getting a job, and Brendan did some good things with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and like Wiki brought him in, and you know what, he straightened out a real mess there, and it's easy to criticize him. I still don't get the Mark Hunter thing. I don't get that, how that fell apart, because Mark Hunter to me is one of those types of guys, like I just mentioned, the Les Jacksons, the Rick Dudleys. He's a hockey guy. And I really believe that Brendan's front office desperately missed that element. And the front office still misses that element. So they better fix it. So if you see Mr. Pelly, my former boss on the street there, mentioned that he's probably listening tonight to make sure he picks up some tips and he saw he was on.
While you're giving out tips, fix the Carolina Hurricanes for me. 14 straight conference finals losses. What's going on?
How does that happen?
The scientist GM can't figure out goaltending. That's the one hypothesis he can't figure out, is we need a goalie. And watching Freddie the other night, I mean, it was frightening how nervous he looked in the net. And I know he's not the reason. But you can't come back year after year with the same goaltending when it's one of the reasons you don't win. It's not even close right now, the series. And I hope for Roddy Brindamore's sake, it gets, they get a win or two and make it a series. But, I mean, it's, Reinhart out may help Carolina a little bit, but they don't look like the same team. And I tell you what, they were so good in the first round. Mm-hmm. They were so good in the first round, the way they played. But Freddie didn't have to make a save.
Mac, not that we've spent a lot of time covering the World Championships, but we tend to notice when Denmark beats a very good, respectable Team Canada with stars on the team. My question to you is, like, how does that happen?
Was that not their 33rd shot on goal that when they won it, that winning goal? I mean, they had 30-some shots against that team. I was blown away. I didn't watch. Since I stopped sending Rick Nash there every spring, I stopped watching that. So I used to send Rick over for the World Championships, and then I used to go and scout because it was always in great cities.
Yes.
It was in Zurich. It was in Stockholm. I mean, I used
You weren't dumb.
I had
and Jill scouted that year too, right?
Yeah. It was a great opportunity to scout the European guys. So I loved the tournament. But since I got fired, I haven't watched it.
Hey, can I ask you something? Like, what, as an executive, obviously your team's probably out. But like, was it important? Did you want to send players there? Did they not want to go back then? Like, how did you treat it as an executive of the World Championships?
I treated it as an unbelievable opportunity to scout European pros. That's what I used it for. And I gotta. Now you've made me real. I'm breaking out into a sweat here, because the last or second last World Championship, I went to watch Kopitar play in the for Sweden in the World Championship. Was it Sweden or Slovenia? He was playing
Slovenia,
in Sweden, but I think he was playing in. He was playing in Sweden, but it was for Slovenia. So I watch him, and then I meet him. I meet his father, after a couple of games at the World Championship, and I loved him, and I didn't draft him. I let LA take him at 11, and I had the sixth pick. And there was five other geniuses after me that didn't take him either, but nobody ever mentions that. They just mentioned me. I'm the only guy that didn't take him.
Did that come up in Draft Day by Doug McClain?
Was that in the book?
It was in the book. It was in the book, yeah. Anyway. By the way, I got a new book coming out.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We're not promoting it.
I'm in the process of writing it. I just started it. As a matter of fact, I just started interviewing general managers. So the book is A Day in the Life of an NHL GM.
How many chapters is Play Solitaire?
Let me ask you something. With Keith Pelley today, with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Can't we stay with the book for a couple more minutes?
No. Well, it's kind of got to do with your title. With Pelley not replacing Brendan Shanahan as president, is this position going away with the dodo bird or the dodo egg?
I'm a little surprised. I think the president's position is probably going to go away, which is fine. But as I said, I think they need to ramp up their front office. I really believe that. And I have a lot of respect for Brad, and I really like Craig Berube. I don't know him other than as a player, but I like him a lot, and I think he did a good job. I just think there's some ramping up to do, and there's got to be more people to bounce ideas off of other than the skill development staff, the player development staff, and the analytics department.
My point is that back then you were also president.
They need some help.
Forget about the Leafs. My whole point in all of this is, like, you double dipped that whole president GM thing too. You know, you fooled your owner.
I was president, GM, and coach.
Oh my gosh!
Years. Like, give me a break. At least give me a break.
You're a control freak.
That's the Gretzky record. That'll never be broken. President, GM, and a coach. Who would ever be dumb enough? Like I said to my owner, when I fired Dave King, and he made me fire him. He phoned me at 11 o'clock at night. You fire Dave King? I said, who's going to coach? He said, you are. I said to the boys the next morning, I said, he thinks I'm running a Pee-wee AAA travel team.
Those teams have five staff members now.
But anyway, I'm a guy that busted the president of hockey ops hard over the years. I called them the Dead GM Society. But, I still am not sure what to make of those president of hockey ops guys. I mean, I know the GMs don't really like having them around, but it's part of the fabric now, you know?
Other Gretzky record that won't be broken is bridges burned by you on this show.
Yeah, you when you get old, you can do that.
Yeah. Just walk around with a blowtorch.
You keep writing books because you will never get a job if you keep doing our show.
I touched base with a team this week. So
no.
You never know.
They're trying to get you to buy season tickets?
Yeah. That's why they phoned. They had me on their season ticket list.
You give me a call to run that analytics department, Mac. I know you need me.
Mac, listen there.
Well, you could be the 13th guy on the league staff in the analytics department.
All right, we're letting you go. Great job today.
So this is it for the year?
No.
Oh, no.
No, you're back next week.
Get your Canes take sharpened up.
I really appreciate you having me on. I really enjoy the opportunity you've given me. And Blue Jays.
Can you hang a jersey up next week or something? The fisherman in the background ain't doing it for me.
I'm in the den here. I'm in the
That's
den.
A selfie, a Mac
outside,
took.
Give you a little outside view here.
And Jill screaming at you right now.
Okay,
go away.
Put the lobster on, Jill. I'm coming.
Doug McClain, everybody.
I don't know. We let that segment go longer and longer every week.
He's still on. I'm sure he's still on.
So if he's still on, I just went back and looked at the 2005 entry draft where he took Brulé with the sixth overall pick.
By the way, I played Brulé in junior, and he was unbelievable. Yeah,
unbelievable.
And he was an Olympian for Canada.
He was supposed to be like, I don't know, Patrice Bergeron. He was
15 when I played him in junior A, and he punched the visor off my buddy who was like 19. He was an all-around player.
He got suspended for multiple Olympic games for throwing like the greasiest junior B style hit like in the middle of an Olympic game. Anyways, these are things I remember.
Okay.
Jack Skilly, Devin Setoguchi. Devin Setoguchi. Brian Lee, Luc Bourdin, who passed, which is sad, and then Anze Kopitar. So he's right.
He drafts Kopitar. He ain't doing Fridays today.
Listen, Mac regrets that more than anyone. He doesn't want to be here. Yeah.
But I mean, Jack Skilly and Brian
Setoguchi, San Jose.
Yeah, he had an okay career.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. Anyways,
not bad.
So there you go.
All right.
Not that bad, Doug.
Game time?
Yeah, it's game time. Let me get my sheet. Maybe I can remember it. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So I hope you listened to me last night. Another opportunity to bet the Florida Panthers as big underdogs.
Just anytime
plus
you see 115. Panthers plus.
Plus 115
that.
Last night. And I think on Bet365, you get an early payout. You won your bet before the end of the first period.
Jeez.
Anyways, it's just looking tonight, the Edmonton Oilers and Dallas Stars is pretty even, both sides of it here. -105 for the Edmonton Oilers, -115 for the Dallas Stars. I really don't. Skinner really shook me to my core last game.
Yeah. He needed a game one.
He
just
did.
To calm everybody down.
He's done this, though. Early in series, it's sketchy, and later in series, he's better.
He was playing with fire, though.
He was pretty good in the first couple periods, and then that puck, he has no idea where
sometimes
it is. Hits the back of the net.
Sometimes he just gets that 360 where he's just turning.
Talking about the one from the point where he looks the wrong side around Marchman.
Yes. So, and I just wanted to quickly bring up the Conn Smythe Trophy odds, because I love checking in on this every so often, probably about once a week. Who would you guys hazard to be, I guess, at who would be the favorite right now?
I'm going to guess it's no longer Rantanen.
Correct.
And it's now Draisaitl.
Wrong. Kipper?
Oh. Who's good on Florida? Bennett?
Nope.
Bobrovsky.
Correct. Sergei Bobrovsky is the favorite at +250.
I don't know. He's like at a 960 or something.
Has he made a save in playoffs?
I mean... Yeah.
Yes, he has.
It doesn't feel like he's the reason they're winning.
I'll run down the list here.
Lorenz is like seeing him in his sleep still.
Yeah, he shot logo hole and it got taken away last second.
Yeah, he almost hit an unbelievably quick chest on that one.
Off the logo.
Sergei Bobrovsky's a favorite. Mikko Rantanen in second at plus 400. Connor McDavid plus 500. Jake Oettinger plus 850. Barkov 11-1. Dreisaitl 14-1. Frederik Andersen 16-1. And the one I really like.
Don't place that bet.
The one I really like. At 20-1 is Sam Bennett.
Yeah,
Sam Bennett at 20-1.
He's got 9 goals.
He's on fire. Scored 2 last night.
They're going to win the cup. He's just like
next year.
Much.
He's a $10 million player.
That's a scary one.
Stay away from that contract. No disrespect.
Just sign it. Sign it. Just sign it. Who cares? Plug your nose.
I'll sign him to 70 for 10. But he's a winner.
I know. He's just a great player. I'm not trying to take away from him, but
he's a winner.
You'd be paying for the pass.
Who traded that guy away for nothing?
Oh, come on now. What are we doing here, boys?
Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So we talk about this every break before we get the national hour, and you're always like, we're going to do texts.
We're going to do texts.
And then I'm like, yeah, we're going to do texts.
Remind everybody.
Tease off the top of the show, of the top of the national hour, and then we never do it.
So do it now.
Everybody, if you're listening, text 590-590, 590-590.
Can I do that right across the country?
Yes. And text in right now. Probably not going to get it read if it's about the lease. Maybe if it's good. But probably, let's give us something else. So 590-590, text
Oilers,
us.
Oilers.
And we will talk about it in our next block. Conference. Plus,
final NHL news and notes, whatever you want.
Plus, there's some finalists for the GM of the Year, and the Blackhawks hired a coach, and we didn't even mention it yesterday, so maybe we can mention that, too.
Oh, yeah. Blashill. That's cool.
Yeah. Anyways, text 590-590.
All right. You heard the man. Plenty more still on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Back after these words.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Sammy, what are you giggling about?
Did Canada answer the bell with our texts? Like, it's out of control. I'm trying
to
keep up
Canada.
Here. But this one particularly perked my interest. Nick teased David Amber about curfew yesterday.
Mm. Yes.
I was in Vegas for the Stanley Cup versus Washington in the food court of a casino. And Nick and Amber ran through at 2 a.m. like they were being chased by a ghost. Please explain. Dennis from Brampton.
Incredible.
There was one night I'm with Amber and Elliot. And you're going to have to get the guys to tell the story because I had a couple cocktails. But, like, I was like, security had me.
What do you mean?
And I fell. I fell and, like, I'm bleeding pretty badly in their lobby.
Out of what?
What's that?
Out of what were you bleeding
my
out of?
My elbow.
Oh, my.
My elbow. And I think they wanted to, like, arrest me. And I think Elliot talked them out of it. Or Amber, one of the two.
It's all a vague memory.
Is that what he's talking about?
I don't know. He said you were running like you're running.
Okay, if that's
ghost.
Not what you're talking about, then
it's a separate memory.
Then never mind about the elbow story.
I'm glad we got that one in. What happens first? The Canucks open the doors to their new practice facility, or Quinn Hughes retires from Colin and Caribou, BC?
This is
why have I heard
story,
so much
about
a
practice?
All I ever hear about out of Vancouver is practice facility. It's crazy.
You know, like just having followed the Islanders for years with their
it's such an issue.
Thing. It's a real thing.
But this is
practice.
This is part of, you want to be attractive. Mm-hmm. You want to be an attractive organization to want people to come and play for you, sign as free agent, get traded for, lift a no trade clause for your organization. Guys want a nice practice facility. You on the island, it was an ongoing thing forever.
Forever. And it was a major problem. It's like, where do you live? Do you want to be close to this place? Is it going to stay this place? They're in Syosset for a bit. They're all over the place.
Where they practiced all those years was like the biggest dump ever.
Yeah.
I went to the practice facility once for the Islanders like 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Like, you wouldn't want your peewee team there.
And so if you're a free agent picking a destination, those things do matter. I don't know what's happened with the Canucks. Like, did they have one that they now no longer have?
I don't think they've ever had one.
No.
So it's just now coming up as a thing that they need one?
And well, it was a huge sticking point in the Tocket thing. All I ever heard from Vancouver was them talking about Tocket wanting a better practice facility, blah, blah, blah.
Jimmy Rutherford brings it up, too, when he talks about, you know,
I mean, aren't they?
Well, I have an idea. Build one.
Aren't they a Canadian? Don't they have the money?
I don't know.
How much is? I feel like a rink costs a lot, though. Anyways,
there's no money in rinks, by the way.
Yeah.
You can't build them.
It's a crisis.
Money pits
here in Toronto, in particular, is just not enough.
Have three of them been built in the last 50, 60 years? Three.
What's that here? You mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I gotta tell you,
not many.
How much it costs to play for the Zigzags? Keep you up at night. Anyways, more info, please, on the Islander situation. Is Darsh the man for the organization? Does he need a president of hockey ops, Shanahan or something, to lead the Islanders back to respectability? Love you, Justin. I've been an Islanders fan all my life living in Toronto. Would appreciate more Islander substance on this great show. Leo from Toronto.
Yeah, you're the Islander guy. What are you hearing?
I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it just because he's been with the Lightning, who have been pretty ruthless with their decision-making, and the Islanders being like keeping Palmieri and Pageot, and I didn't love some of that stuff. So I like that he's been around a team that's been a little bit more cutthroat, but talking to people in the Syracuse organization, positive, laid-back, smart, good vibe. Like, just people like having him around. He seems like, you know, he's had success winning. People seem to like him. He's going to have some autonomy to make some decisions. Those are all good things. I'm really happy with it, and better than some of the other options I had seen floated about. So, yeah, not a ton of experience in a role that big, but I love it.
We had conversations like, can it just be somebody new?
Could it not be one of the same 35 GMs?
Someone new, and it seems like they went with a new guy that Doug McLean drafted. So, you know, he's got to be good if McLean drafted him. So
if Mac, he's the
Brulé of GMs.
Oh no!
So
he's French.
A few people that I've talked to are trying to still figure out this Lou Lamoriello thing, because he's kind of still there. But the theory is that he's around, but he's not going to be involved.
Like, what do you mean? Like, he's haunting,
like
he's haunting the place?
He's Milton in office space? He's just in storage room B? You, he's just going to keep collecting a check?
There's something there. There's still a connection there. And I don't know where he falls in all of this.
So I told you, or we talked a little bit about the Leafs in the first hour and all the different, like, confusion with roles, and I didn't hire my guy and didn't get my guy and a new guy. I don't need that. I don't think the Islanders need that. Like, you need express clarity on who's making decisions. If Lou's got some input and he wants to live on Long Island, great guy to draw experience from, but I don't think on the day-to-day he's a guy you want in the building.
But will he just give Darsh some advice here and there?
That's fine.
Right?
But I mean, that'd be great. You know,
where's that cut line?
Right.
Right.
Well, I think Darsh would have to establish that at some point and say, to be clear, thanks for your input. Back to storage room B.
This Panthers team is like the equivalent of the Golden State Warriors in their prime. Just a complete beast. My question is, in the past 10, 15 years, what team do you think beats them in a best-of-seven series? My answer, the 2022 Avs.
The Lightning, during their prime there, they had Killorn and Palat and Point and Gord. They were feisty and competitive too. McDonough and Hedman and Chern. They were
Kings.
Like this.
Kings.
They
is
were
Kings
like this.
Is Kings 10 years?
Yeah, with no. Dustin Brown.
2014, so that's 11. That's within 10. That's within 10 or 15
11
years.
11 within 10. Oh, it was 10 to 15. 10
or 15 years.
I'll
go Kings.
I'll throw the Chicago Blackhawks in there too with Bufflin and...
That was the first version.
Boland and big heavy left winger.
Ladd? Ladd was on the
first one. Ladd on the first one?
Ladd was on the first
one.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah. Brian Bickle.
Bickle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, not bad. Not bad team to go up against them.
Seabrook was competitive. Like, yeah.
I always liked the Kings over that team.
Seabrook on the back end. Keith.
Yeah.
Chalmerson.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Be a good one.
Remember Keith losing all his teeth?
Oh, yeah.
That was awful.
Standard.
Okay, this is a tough one. I didn't bring it up, so maybe this is too hard of a quiz, but did you know there's 11 ex-Leafs playing in the playoffs as of now? Can you name them?
11 ex-Leafs are currently playing in the playoffs.
10 of them are on the Oilers.
Yeah, like it's Hyman, Brown, Kapanen.
Three.
Right, that's it for the Oilers?
Hyman, Brown, Kapanen.
CeCe on Dallas.
CeCe's on Dallas.
Yeah, Cody CeCe.
Yeah, that's all I got.
What about Florida? Florida, Carolina. Who's Carolina got?
Carolina.
Mason Marchment.
Oh, Mason. Marchment, yeah.
Thank you, Derek.
Yeah, he counts.
I got five. That's it. I'm brain dead.
Compelling radio, I know.
Sorry for bringing this out to you.
Do you have them?
No, I just brought
it. Oh, come on. You can't ask that question.
Seems a lot. You count Verhaeghe as a Leaf?
Yeah. Carter Verhaeghe for sure.
Did he play a game as a Leaf?
I don't think so. Probably just a draft picker.
Down the lineup for some of these teams. Anyway, all right.
I'm sorry, guys. A really tough question by your boy there. I'm just trying to look at somebody on the Dallas Stars.
People are listening right now just yelling at us.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. Colin Blackwell.
Oh, gosh. How would we miss that?
Incredible pull.
How did we miss that?
I looked it up.
Do you have all the answers or you just looked up?
I just looked up Dallas. I'm looking up Florida. Right. Here's a question for you. Will, after his playoff showing, do you guys think Marchand will make the Olympic team?
I am in the minority in saying I do not think he will.
No.
You don't think so either?
No, I don't think so.
I thought at the end of the Four Nations, it got clear that he was...
players just ahead of him. And he did have issues with speed.
Yeah.
So he ain't getting any faster over the summer.
And there were guys like Robert Thomas and Mark Scheifele and people all along the fringes who you felt like are probably next in line.
Evan Rodriguez. He was a Leaf for a moment.
Did he play?
Don't know if he played.
Yeah.
So I don't know if... Sorry, we went back to that.
It's a compelling question.
It's a really good one. Let's see if I got anything more here for you boys.
Pickard.
Yeah, Pickard.
Oh, yeah, the goalie.
Yeah. Hey, Rick. This is Rick from Markham. If Edmonton loses again to Dallas this year, are they finally going to go out this offseason and sign a goalie? Year after year, it's always their weak spot. Your guys' thoughts?
Yes.
100%.
150%.
I think they are currently frustrated they didn't.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
I would imagine the captain is quite frustrated that they didn't.
You know how it is, Kip, in those situations when you're a really good team with a struggling goalie. You never say anything to him.
Nope.
You never say anything to the media.
Nope.
You never say anything to anyone. Maybe a guy or
you
two
just
late at
in
night.
In the back of the bus and go, rip them with a few guys.
Can we get a goddamn stop? Just give me one.
I'm guarantee you there's a select group chat.
Yeah.
With Connor and a couple of fellas on there, maybe the core guys. They've had some conversations
going like,
about
Stuskin. Our PK needs to be better, does it? How about a save?
Bing, bing. Red light.
Although that Granlund riff was a triple rip.
God, can he shoot the puck?
That was where did this under guy the come bar from? In you 9 seconds.
Like,
San Jose,
it's a perfect saucer,
yeah.
The puck doesn't move. It's not like this. It's like...
It's off quick.
It's like a UFO.
It's
going to the top of the net.
Really good.
All right, that's it.
Good text
Great
today,
job.
Thanks.
Everyone.
Thank
Great
you.
Job.
Thanks. Maybe one for Friday when Mac refuses to do the show anymore. It's getting too late. We'll just do all texts on Friday.
We get him a gift basket, some hazelnuts or something, don't we?
We have one upstairs, don't we? That we haven't opened? Or did you take that home yet?
But it's going to cost me like $200 to send it to him. So let's just eat it and say it was for him.
That's nice.
Yeah, in his honor.
It's like when you buy someone a star. I named a star after you.
I planted a tree for you in your name.
I donated to the Human Fund. predictions for tonight.
Are we?
Oil gotta win.
Yes.
Gotta win.
This one, we have 7 games. Edmonton will come back tied 1-1.
Have fun at the big desk tonight, Borny.
Yes,
Hockey
we're
night
watching.
In Canada.
Hey,
let's
listen. I'm giving you an assignment tonight.
Oh, boy.
Under no circumstances do you come back on Monday without dropping Real Kipper and Bourne. Somewhere in the show tonight, you have to drop Real Kipper and Bourne.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree.
Challenge accepted. Yeah.
And say Sammy, too.
No. No, we got a lot of that in the mailbag. Thanks for watching all week. Thanks for listening. Thank you for your support. As always, much appreciated. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight. CBC Hockey Night in Canada.